This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How power dynamics at work distort your emotional self-perception. When hierarchy warps how you read your own emotions at work. In short, power dynamics at work do not just shape how others treat you, they quietly write how you interpret your own emotional experience. You may believe you're calm when you're actually suppressing real anxiety. You may read your silence as strength when it is learned deference. The longer this continues, the more you mistake the distortion for the truth. Definition: emotional self-perception is the capacity to accurately identify, name, and understand your own emotional states in real time. In workplace settings shaped by hierarchy and status, this capacity is frequently compromised without the person ever noticing the distortion has occurred. A manager I worked with for several years was certain he handled pressure well. His team would have told you otherwise, quickly. He described himself as steady in tough meetings, pragmatic about criticism, unbothered by his director's occasional sharpness. Then one afternoon he caught himself in a bathroom after a performance review, gripping the sink, heart hammering. He had no framework to explain the gap between what he felt in that moment and the story he'd been telling himself for years. Power dynamics at work had been quietly distorting his emotional self-perception, and he had never once suspected it. This is exactly the kind of damage that happens slowly, looks entirely normal, and costs you far more than you realize. Why this kind of distortion goes unnoticed for years. The problem with distorted self-awareness is that it does not feel like distortion. It feels like maturity. It feels like professionalism. You tell yourself you are being measured, objective, resilient. The truth is that prolonged exposure to hierarchical pressure trains you to pre-edit your emotional experience before you've even fully felt it. This adjustment happens at the level of internal narrative. You feel something and within seconds, you reach for a respectable interpretation. Nervous becomes prepared. Resentful becomes passionate. Defeated becomes reflective. The reframe feels honest because you practiced it so often, it now runs automatically. Nobody teaches you to do this. The workplace rewards it, and so it deepens. Six ways that hierarchy warps how you see your own emotional responses. 1. You feel different around leadership than around peers, but call it focus. What it looks like. You notice your breathing changes, your answers shorten, and you choose your words more carefully when your manager enters the room. You call this being professional. Why it happens. Status triggers a physiological response that your self-awareness system immediately tries to rationalize. The gap between your peer-facing self and your leadership-facing self is real data. Calling it focus suppresses that data before you can examine it. Why it matters. If you cannot accurately identify anxiety in yourself, you cannot regulate it. You carry it instead, and it leaks into decisions, tone, and relationships in ways you genuinely cannot see what to do. After your next leadership interaction, sit quietly for 2 minutes and name what you felt, not what you did. Write it down before you reach for any explanation. I spent 15 years calling this kind of tension professionalism. It was not. It was something closer to fear. And naming it honestly was the beginning of actual self-awareness. 2. Your silence reads to you as composure. What it looks like. You stay quiet in meetings when you disagree. Afterwards, you describe yourself as someone who picks battles wisely or thinks before speaking. Why it happens. Silence under hierarchical pressure is rarely wisdom. It is almost always the path of least resistance. But because silence carries no visible cost in the moment, it is easy to retrofit a confident explanation onto it. Why it matters. When silence becomes your default emotional response and you stop registering it as avoidance, you lose the ability to distinguish between genuine discernment and suppression. That distinction matters enormously for self-respect and for how others experience you over time. What to do? Ask yourself after any silent moment whether you stayed quiet because speaking would have been wrong or because speaking would have been risky. The answers are not the same. This one took me the longest to see in myself. Silence felt like strength, but strength does not leave you rehearsing the conversation in your car on the way home. 3. You rationalize your strongest emotional reactions as logic. What it looks like. A colleague gets a recognition you expected. You tell yourself you are simply questioning whether the process was fair. Your analysis feels entirely rational. Why it happens. In environments where emotional responses carry status costs, the mind learns to dress emotion in the clothes of reason. The emotional content is real. The logical framing is a costume. Why it matters. Emotions disguised as analysis do not get processed, they get lodged. They contaminate future thinking in ways that are difficult to trace because the source is hidden from view. What to do? When you notice strong analytical energy directed at someone else's outcome, pause. Ask what the emotion would be if you dropped the analysis entirely. Stay with that for a moment before deciding what to do with it. I once spent 3 days building a case that a decision was structurally flawed. It was hurt feelings. The sooner I could have admitted that, the sooner I could have moved. 4. You describe yourself as fine in precisely the situations that challenge you most. What it looks like. You say I am fine with feedback or I do not take things personally in performance conversations. You believe it. The people around you see something different. Why it happens. This is the most counterintuitive sign on this list. The stronger the emotional response, the more aggressively some people reach for composure language to cover it. The declaration of finesse is the signal, not the proof. Why it matters. The gap between your self-description and what others observe is one of the most precise measures of distorted emotional self-perception. When that gap is large, trust erodes because people stop believing you're an accurate reporter of your own inner experience. What to do? Ask 2 people who know you well whether they would describe you the way you describe yourself in difficult moments. Listen to the answer without defending it. The truth of it is this: the people who most insist they do not get defensive are often the most defensive people in the room. 5. You attribute your mood to external causes without examining the internal ones. What it looks like. You leave a difficult meeting irritable, and you explain it by pointing to the traffic, a poor night's sleep, or a problem with the project. The meeting itself barely gets a mention. Why it happens. Blaming external circumstances is safer than acknowledging that a status interaction affected you emotionally. It requires no vulnerability and no accountability. It also leaves the real cause completely unexamined. Why it matters. External attribution is a reliable mechanism for avoiding genuine self-knowledge. If you consistently place the cause of your emotional state outside yourself, you never develop accurate self-awareness because the data you most need is always somewhere else. What to do? Next time you feel a mood shift after a workplace interaction, write a single sentence at start. I felt because I. Force the cause inside. 6. You confuse role identity with emotional identity. What it looks like. You've been a manager, a senior contributor, or a team lead for long enough that you no longer know which emotional responses are yours and which belong to the role. Why it happens. Sustained occupancy of a hierarchical role shapes how you believe you are supposed to feel. Managers are supposed to be steady. Senior contributors are supposed to be confident. The role writes expectations onto your emotional self-perception until the two are nearly indistinguishable. Why it matters. When role and self merge at the emotional level, you lose access to genuine introspection. You can only see what the role would feel, not what you actually feel. This is where burnout often hides longest, behind a performance of the right emotions. What to do? Spend 10 minutes writing about a recent work situation as if you had no title, no role, no responsibility, just a person. Notice what shifts. If you want to understand why psychological safety matters so much for team performance, start here. People cannot bring honest emotion to a team if they have lost contact with it entirely. The root cause underneath all 6 signs. Each of these signs looks different on the surface, but they share a common source: status protective self-editing. When the cost of showing a genuine emotional response feels high enough, the mind learns to intercept the emotion before it reaches conscious awareness and replace it with something more acceptable. This is not weakness. It is an entirely rational adaptation to an environment that punishes certain kinds of emotional honesty. The problem is that the editing process does not distinguish between emotions that would harm you to express and emotions that would harm you to suppress. It catches everything. Over time, you lose the ability to distinguish between what you genuinely feel and what you have learned it is safe to feel. This is why the amygdala hijack problem is so damaging at the team level. It does not just affect outward reactions. It corrupts the internal data that self-awareness depends on. And when the confidence-competence loop is built on a distorted emotional self-image, the loop reinforces the wrong thing. A simple diagnostic. How clear is your emotional self-perception right now? Read each statement. Answer yes or no honestly. Number 1. I can name a specific emotion I felt in my last difficult work conversation. Number 2. The people closest to me would describe my emotional responses the way I describe them myself. Number 3. I have felt genuinely surprised by my own emotional reaction to something at work in the last month. Number 4. I notice when I'm anxious, as opposed to simply noticing when I'm performing calm. Number 5. I can distinguish between avoiding a conversation because it is unproductive and avoiding it because it is uncomfortable. Number 6. My emotional responses feel similar regardless of who is in the room. Number 7. When I feel strong emotion at work, I can trace it to its actual source within a day. Scoring 6 to 7 yes. Your emotional self-perception is reasonably clear. Your work is refinement and honest maintenance. 4 to 5 yes. There is meaningful distortion present. You have some access to your emotional experience, but power dynamics are shaping what you allow yourself to see. 3 or few yes. The distortion is significant. You are likely operating on an edited version of your emotional experience much of the time. This is not a character flaw. It is a learned adaptation, but it needs direct attention before it compounds. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to start when the reflection is not accurate? You do not fix distorted emotional self-perception by trying harder to be honest in the moment. By the time you reach the moment, the editing has already happened. You fix it upstream by building a practice of delayed reflection that runs independently of the status pressure. The simplest version after any significant workplace interaction: take 5 minutes and write freely about what you felt, not what you thought, not what you concluded, not what you would say if asked. What you felt. No audience. No performance. Just your own account of your own interior experience. Over time, this practice gives you a comparison point between your in-the-moment self-perception and your reflected one. The gap between those two is where the distortion lies. Naming it is the first honest act. For the moments when that distortion becomes acute, particularly in high-stakes conversations, the practical tools and how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction give you a method to stay grounded when your emotional reading of yourself is least reliable. And if you want to understand how the same distortion plays out under sustained pressure rather than single moments, how the core framework helps during tense workplace conversations is worth your time. The confidence competence loop in tension management also shows clearly why managers who do this internal work consistently outperform those who rely on surface composure alone. Building accurate emotional self-perception is also foundational to the confidence competence loop in team settings. When you know what you actually feel, conversations that used to terrify you become navigable. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-perception at work? Emotional self-perception at work is your ability to accurately read your own emotional states, triggers, and responses in professional settings. When power dynamics are present, this perception is frequently distorted, causing you to misread your own feelings or dismiss them entirely. How do power dynamics distort emotional self-perception? Power dynamics create status pressure that causes you to suppress, reframe, or misattribute your genuine emotional responses. Over time, you begin to believe the adjusted version of your feelings is the real one, which is where self-awareness breaks down completely. What are the signs that power dynamics are affecting your self-awareness? Common signs include rationalizing strong emotional reactions after meetings, feeling fine around peers, but anxious around leadership, reading your own silence as professionalism rather than fear, and consistently describing yourself as calm when close colleagues see something different. Can someone have high emotional intelligence, but poor emotional self-perception? Yes, and this is more common than most people realize. Strong social skills can mask weak self-knowledge. You can become skilled at reading others while remaining largely blind to your own emotional patterns, particularly under hierarchical pressure. How do I improve emotional self-perception distorted by workplace power? Start by separating your emotional observations from the context of status. After key interactions, write down what you actually felt before you reach for any explanation. Emotional honesty requires practice, especially when hierarchy has trained you to suppress or reframe first. Why does emotional self-perception matter for professional relationships? Accurate emotional self-perception is the foundation of all useful self-awareness. Without it, your attempts to regulate emotion, communicate clearly, or build trust are built on flawed data. You cannot manage what you cannot first see with any honesty. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonbuckthorn.com to get your copy.